But first, let's bring our hearts to the Lord in prayer. O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties, prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. With this in mind, Lord, we do pray for our leaders, for our president, his cabinet, and those that work around him, for our governor and his cabinet, for legislatures, both national and statewide, and judges at all levels. We do pray for them because you can use them to benefit us. We also have a number of specific health needs that we come to you and submit for your consideration. Continued recovery for Nancy from her brain surgery and her recent emergency trip to Mayo. We believe that they've cleared the drain tube, which is good. We also pray for a possible issue with her pancreas that may be dealt with later. Continued recovery for Dave Long on recovery from his back surgery, that his healing would go well, and the nerves and all the activity that was done to improve his legs and his mobility and the pain would be dealt with. For continued health and support for Paul Ripley and his wife Darlene, and for their family as they support him. For the family of ministry of Josh and Sveta Tokar with World Venture, that their ministry would continue and be fruitful. We make specific prayers as they're in Muncie, Indiana, where Josh is teaching at some classes. May his teaching go well. Sveta is working with the elementary school, and their children are in school also. We also pray for their sister-in-law and two nephews who are staying with them, and for their kids as they try to navigate the new language in the school and missing their families from home. Thank you that you allowed them to come to the United States and for ministry opportunities and peace as they continue to minister for those in the Ukraine. And dear Lord, we now bring our hearts to your word that you will instruct us and help us to walk and to live in the instruction you've given us in love. Amen. Oh, no. Mr. Allen is good at putting these together, so he gave me this little, I don't know what they call these things nowadays, visual cues or emojis or whatever, but I don't know if you can see all of that. The idea is of cultivating something takes work, cultivating faithfulness. And you see a lot of gardens and a lot of plants and a lot of people that spend a lot of time and they're really good at it. I am not, but they're good at it. And you wonder, how does that look so beautiful and gorgeous? Because of hours and hours and hours of work. It takes a lot of work. So cultivating is work. But it has a wonderful result. You have a beautiful product, a beautiful thing. And as we talk about cultivating thanksgiving in our lives, God's doing the same thing. He's pulling up weeds. He's digging through the dirt. He's getting rid of stuff that's in the way so that we can look beautiful to him. And that's his goal, to make us like him. This is part one of two. We'll do the second part in 2 weeks. Oh, part of my routine, I always put this phrase, first thinking differently, thinking God's way, because when we look at the scriptures, they're sometimes quite a bit different than our world. We'll be looking at cultivating thankfulness today, but first a few questions for thought. As you start thinking about this, here's a few questions. These are rhetorical, although you could speak up if you wanted to. This is a fairly tame place, so it might not happen, but you could. Why sometimes do we find it hard to be thankful? Is that like a stupid question? I mean, when isn't it? But think about it. There's sometimes when it's really hard to be thankful. Are there times when you feel like there's nothing to be thankful for? I can't find anything to be thankful for. That's, again, pretty common. Well, how do you feel when you've done something for someone and they don't say thanks? How do you feel? How does the Lord feel? Look at all He's done for us. And we don't say thanks sometimes. They don't show any appreciation or any gratitude to you. None. I worked off. I did this. I helped them. Nothing. Now inside, we all seem to be wired and to know that when you're helpful or supportive, that is something that should be appreciated and thanked for. It is, I know you're not supposed to end the sentence with a preposition, but sorry, I did that. Scripture gives us a manual of instruction and teaching about normal behavioral expectations. What's normally supposed to happen when things are healthy? Well, God's character is expressed and shown over and over when He gives to His entire creation grace, to all of His people grace, and to the entire world blessing upon blessing. Sometimes we don't see it, but He's there. Remember the words that say, the rain falls? Where? Everywhere. How many times each day should I be thankful and grateful for something He's done for me? Think about it. Jesus sadly asked after cleansing 10 lepers, and only one came back to say thanks, where are the other 9? We'll look more into this in a bit. As I examine this text, I find that unfortunately, I sometimes more closely resemble the 9 instead of the 1. When I add it up, I seem to find over and over that I forget to even say thanks for stuff that's so easy to say thanks for. Now, of the 10 lepers, only one came back to give thanks. That's 1 in 10 or 10% for you math people. Now in baseball, I'm sorry, but I got to use this analogy. In baseball, the batter's average is the number of times he gets on base per the number of at-bats. Now, in a purist, it's not a bad if you get hit by a pitch or a walk or whatever, but if you hit the ball and you get on base, that's how your average is counted. Well, I'd like to coin a new phrase or statistic to measure our spiritual health. What's your Thanksgiving average? So when I think about all the opportunities each day to give thanks, what is my Thanksgiving average? How's my batting average in Thanksgiving? Let's see what we can do to improve our Thanksgiving average. Now, we are to give thanks to the Lord because of who He is. Just because of who He is. And also because of what He does. So, the more we know about the Lord, His character, and His works, the better we can be confident in His word to us, in His ability to fulfill His plans, and for us to cultivate thankfulness as a part of our lives. Because of who He is, I can be thankful because I know He's reliable, He's trustworthy, etc., etc. Now, with people, there's always opportunities for excuses. You might have heard a few of these. Well, I wanted to do that for you, but something came up. But I had something more important to do. Well, something unforeseen got in the way. I was unavoidably detained. How about wordsmithing for that one? Unavoidably detained. I ran out of a way to pay for it. Someone else needed my help more. Well, I got to thinking that you really didn't deserve my help anyway. Well, let's consider God's common grace to all of His creation. Compared to us and people around the world, what is God like? Matthew 5. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." Do we deserve it? Do they deserve it? Does anybody deserve it? He says, it doesn't matter. I'm good. I'm going to show good. Now, we're told that it is good and right and expected that thanksgiving and praise is to be given by those blessed towards the one who blesses us. That's the normal way to do things. It's normal and healthy behavior in any relationship. So let's think about thankfulness. Because of something that is done, because of who is helping us, and it should be a natural response to all things in life. Now this list gets long, and we'll do more of this in 2 weeks, but listen to some of these things. If you think it's easy sometimes, consider this. For anything, anywhere, anytime, whatever happens. I'll repeat that because it's hard to see. For anything, anywhere, anytime that things happen. And if you think that's hard, wait till 2 weeks from today. And we'll show you that it gets harder. We'll learn that ultimately for us as believers, there is a working of all things together for good. No matter how bad it looks, he can make it work together for good. Now, I don't know this illustration very well, but I've seen people that are cooks. And they have all these ingredients laid out on the counter. And I don't really spend a lot of time. I never have been a baker. I don't know that stuff. Some of you that do this. But there's a bunch of stuff on there. But I only see the result when it tastes really good and you're eating it. But if I went by and picked up each individual element and just ate it without mixing it together and baking it and stirring it and all that stuff, I'd spit it out. Okay? Take a couple of tablespoons of salt and swallow it. Yeah? How about some baking soda? You know? Some of that stuff. Just eat it raw, you know, raw. What does it taste like? Okay? That's not good. But when the chef, the cook, the baker mixes it, processes it, uses the yeast, gets it cooked up, oh, is that good. That's what the Lord's doing sometimes. We get the pieces that, that's this, I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like this, and it works out, you know? It works out. Now, even if, and especially when we cannot see any possible good coming from events in our lives. Now, here's some of the key words we'll be looking at. Thankfulness, thanksgiving, and giving thanks. Grace. Appreciation. Gratitude. And then on the negative side of this, complaining. Mumbling. Whining. Murmuring. Being ungrateful. These are different aspects of our attitude towards thanks. Now let's look at a few scriptures that instruct us to give thanks to the Lord. First, from 1 Chronicles, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples." Now if you want to take your time, you can go through this list because this phrase is repeated over and over again. It's repeated in these places, among others. But these are effectively quotes, all the same thing. The words for giving thanks, thankfulness, gratitude appear around 150 times in the Old Testament and 250 times in the New Testament. It is not a small subject. The Bible is filled with instruction for us to give thanks to the Lord. It is described in both positive and negative ways in the New and Old Testaments. The verse that we did for our reading today was from Hebrews. "Through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name." Paul gives thanks to his audience in 9 of his 13 letters at the introduction. Over and over again, he gives thanks. Now, I'm going to put them all up so you can see. We won't read a lot of detail here, but first, I thank my God, this is Romans, through Jesus Christ for you all. I thank my God. 1 Corinthians, I thank my God. Ephesians, I do not cease giving thanks for you. Philippians, I thank my God in all remembrance of you. Colossians, we give thanks to God because of you. We give thanks, this is 1 Thessalonians, to God always for all of you. 2 Thessalonians, we ought always to give thanks to God for you. You seeing a pattern? How about 2 Timothy? I thank God when I remember you in my prayers. Philemon, I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers. This is his pattern. This example of a thankful way of life from Paul is a good one to follow. Be thankful for the people in your life and pray for them. This is a good place to start. We've got a prayer sheet. We've got prayer letters going around, emails, text things. Just verbally, you're hearing about other people. You thank the Lord for them and pray for them together. You do both. Now, Jesus also was one that made it a practice to give thanks. Let's look at a few of these. Luke 10, when the 70 returned with joy, what did he say? Well, the 70 returned with joy saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Well, that's what's important, Lord. No, what does he say? Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. At that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. Remember I talked about this before. I praise you. I thank you. Those ideas are similar. And that's what it's done here. But when we look further from Matthew 11, praise and thanks for what the Father has revealed. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. You let these secrets known to them. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. Now, Jesus also demonstrated a pattern of giving multiple times before having a meal. In the feeding of 5,000, in the feeding of 4,000, and at the Last Supper. First, the feeding of 5,000. Jesus said, have the people sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise also of the fish as much as they wanted. The feeding of the 4,000 is in 2 of the Gospels. And he took 7 loaves and the fish, and giving thanks, he broke them and started giving them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people, giving thanks for a meal. And those who ate were 4,000 men besides women and children. And then during the Last Supper, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And when he had taken a cup, again he gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. Here's some of the other Last Supper references in the Gospels and 1 Corinthians, repeating that same pattern. Giving thanks, being grateful, giving a blessing for food. At the raising of Lazarus, Jesus also gave thanks. So they removed the stone, then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so they may believe that you sent me. Over and over again, Paul and Jesus and many others gave thanks in their lifestyle. Their way of life was to be thankful. Now please turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 17. We'll spend a little bit of time in this section. Luke 10, starting in verse 17. In the account of Luke, there's a pattern that starts all the way back around chapter 9 and 10, where the focus of the ministry of Luke is to write about Jesus as he starts heading towards Jerusalem. And he was focused on that as he goes through these various places. Here in chapter 10, we'll find that he's got a few places he has to go while he's getting to Jerusalem. We'll look at the account of where Jesus healed 10 lepers and one was special. Luke 17, verses 11 to 19. 10 lepers being cleansed. While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men stood at a distance from him, and they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, the instruction for dealing with leprosy is fully outlined in Leviticus 13 and 14. There's over 100 verses with instructions to the priest on how to deal with this. Effectively, these two chapters are probably pulled from a medical journal somewhere, the Lord put together. I can't follow it all. It's complicated. This scab, this hair, this color skin, this boil, this all describing it in detail after detail. What to do, how to detect it, and then if it's there, how do you cleanse it? What's the procedure? Two full chapters. Now, Leviticus 13, 44 and 45 gives instructions to the leper what to do. To be screaming out, "Unclean, unclean," and to live alone, his dwelling shall be outside the camp. These were outcasts. These were not welcome. These people were alone. Now here in this section in Luke, we see the description from Luke. He says they are at a distance, and they raise their voices. They're at a distance. They raise their voices. No, they raise their voices. Lord, help! Help! That's the idea here. It's a strong plea for help. But at a distance. They knew the rule. When he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now, Jesus was following the instruction from Leviticus to send them to the priest for review. You can read just the first two or three verses of chapter 13 of Leviticus and you'll see this. They're instructed to go to the priest, go to the priest, go to the priest. They can review it and find out what's going on. Now, notably, these 10 were healed as they were going. Before they even got to the priest, they were healed. Why is this so different and unique? Well, we'll find out in a minute. Now, one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, so these guys are walking back and they get healed. And if you've had leprosy or seen somebody with leprosy or you know about it, this is not something that is not, you know, it's just like a little tiny. This is obvious. I mean, your fingers are falling off. Your skin is peeling. There's all kinds. It's really pretty grotesque. When these guys were healed, they were physically made whole. They knew it. I mean, it's pretty obvious to all of them. They're looking at each other. What happened? What? Boy, this is amazing, amazing. One of them turned back, seeing that. And with a loud voice, he was glorifying God. First they were screaming for help. Now he's screaming to praise and thank the Lord. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. Now Luke writes, he was a Samaritan. One of the 10 turning back and glorifying God and gave thanks to Jesus. This one was a Samaritan. Later he's called a foreigner. He was a stranger. Now this is a very unique situation. Here we have 10 lepers who are already outcasts, already strange, already separated, and now they've got the outcast from that, but this one's also outcast because he's a Samaritan. So he's got even more stuff against him. Pile upon pile of things that are mixed up in his life that he's finding a way to say, well, Lord, what do I do? Then Jesus answered this one and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Where are they? I cannot appreciate strongly enough or say strongly enough how this screams of disappointment. This Lord God, who had made the creation, all these different things, and sin came in and filled the world and made it all evil and fallen apart, and then he makes something good and right, and these don't give him thanks. These 9. Where are they? It's almost like, is it, humanly speaking, he can't believe it. Where are they? Why only 1? No one was found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner, this stranger. This is one of the most sobering and penetrating questions to me in all of Scripture. And it's hard to read it. I break down thinking about this question when sometimes the Lord asks me, where were you? Why not you? And I resemble that question too much. Jesus asked, but the 9, where are they? Then he said one more thing to this Samaritan. He said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Because of this one's faith, Jesus did more than cleanse him. He healed him. So, you look at the situation with a leper, and the things are falling apart, and they're destroying themselves. And if this isn't a picture of sin, that you can visually see, that things are decaying, that things are rotten, that things are not right, that's the picture. Those 9 were healed physically. The Samaritan was healed inside. Where do you want to be healed? The faith of this one leper healed his inside. He was made right with God. Now looking at leprosy. Chapter 13 deals with the test of leprosy. These are long. I mean, there's almost 60 verses in each of these 2 chapters, so there's about 110 verses altogether, 110 or 120. And then chapter 14 is what the offering is to be done for cleansing of a leper. Now note, this, I don't think anyone's ever countered this from the studies that I've done and others that have studied this. This ritual in Leviticus 13 and 14 was never recorded as having been done by a priest for anyone in the Old Testament. Not once by a priest. Not once. But they were taught this, and for over 1,000 years, probably 1,400 years, depending on the dating of Leviticus, the priests were carefully instructed on what to do if this were to happen and somebody were to come to them. But until the time of Jesus, they didn't have an occasion to practice this ritual. Imagine the testimony of the Scriptures, and again to the priest, to who Jesus was when he instructed those he healed of leprosy to go to the priest and report to them what happened. I think they all probably went back and grabbed their old dusty medical books and their journals from Leviticus, and they started looking. You know, we studied that when we were in school, but we never had to use it. What do we do now? Well, who is this? I mean, how could this happen? You get the idea. This was really, really unique. It was a strong testimony to them. In the entire Old Testament, there are only two people who were cured from leprosy, Miriam and Nahum. Neither of them went to a priest, as outlined in the law in Leviticus 13 and 14. Now, looking at those who were cured in the Old Testament, Numbers 12 deals with Miriam, the sister of Moses, brother of Aaron. And in 2 Kings, Naaman, captain of the army of the king of Syria. Now, those who were not cured in the Old Testament that I could find, this was the main one, Uzziah or Azariah, depending on the spelling of the name, he was not cured. Now, in the New Testament, there are a few that were cured. We look first at a man healed of leprosy by Jesus, both in Luke, Matthew, and Mark. This one man was healed. And then here the 10 lepers were cleansed, and one was healed internally after giving thanks. Now in Matthew 10:8, Jesus instructed the 12 to also cleanse the lepers. I don't see a record of that in the Gospels that they actually did it, but he told them to do it, and so the text seems to imply that it had been done. Other lepers were healed by those that he sent out. Now, what are the motivations for giving thanks? Now, all the ingredients of life are working together and contributing to the final product of who and what God wants to develop for his final goal. At times, it can be both mysterious and difficult. Remember, all these broken pieces of your life, all the mixed up things that happen to you, all the hard and maybe sometimes even the easy times, they're all promised by the Lord. They're ingredients to work together for good. He's cooking something. He's making something. He's doing something. And he's got to get all the pieces together and all the conditions right. Remember all the, and you guys that are bakers and chefs, you know that you can put all that stuff in the pot, but it ain't going to turn into a cake unless you heat it up. You know? Sometimes he's got to turn up the heat. It's only possible to believe this is a good thing because we know him as a good and loving heavenly Father. He knows what he's doing. Why, Lord? He says, I know what I'm doing. Remember James 1? He's good. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Okay, he gives out things good. Now, the good is the result, not necessarily the steps to get there. I think that's what's implied here, and you'll see that later next time when we look at this passage. Now, Matthew 10 explains something about how God considers something valuable. And you and I are valuable. We are precious. He's not messing around with us. Consider this. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Lord, don't you care? Don't you know? I'm hurting. All those thoughts come to mind, and remember, he considers you valuable and precious. And he's working on you to make something good. When it seems hard at times to be thankful, remind your heart that you are valuable to your Heavenly Father. Now, you guys might be collectors. You might have stuff that is valuable to you. Maybe a keepsake, maybe an item you got from something you inherited, maybe something a person made for you, and you keep that special, in a special place. It's also in a special place in your heart. We are like that to the Lord. He's telling us this. We are valuable. We are special. We matter to him. He's going to do what it takes to get us to the goal, to completeness in Christ. Now, in my study, one of the teachers, and I saw this multiple times, but it's one in particular, mentioned a poem by Elizabeth Cheney from 1859. This goes back a ways. It tells a story that may be putting some things into perspective, and it uses the teaching on our value to God the Father from Matthew 10. We'll be closing with this poem. Hopefully it'll matter to you too. Overheard in an orchard, said the robin to the sparrow, "I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush around and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father, such as cares for you and me." Rushing around, the birds of the air, valuable we are to Him, and He cares for us. When it seems hard, try to remember beyond your circumstances. Your Father's at work. He's doing something. He's making you into something better, complete, whole. And sometimes the ingredients get mixed up and heated and twisted around, but He knows what He's doing. I want this study to cause us to want to outdo one another in the noble way of walking and living in the truth with a thankful heart. May God bless our study of His Word today. Amen.